Father, we thank you again for the blessed is the man whom you choose to come into your presence. Lord, we thank you for your power and for your presence that is increasingly being felt in our midst, in our assemblies, in our gatherings, in our affairs. We pray this night, Lord, that you might anoint our hearts, anoint our ears, anoint our eyes. You might anoint your word. You might give bread to the eater, sweet bread to the eater, healthy bread to the eater. Even the bread of your presence, fresh bread. And you might give seed to the sower. Even abundant seed, even that true measure of seed that was needed to repair the altar.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we receive an open heaven. We receive a feast of fastings, refined wine on the leaves. We just bless your name. We ask that you might open our understanding and grant us the fruit of wisdom and revelation. In the knowledge of you.
Amen.
Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 I've been struggling to get into something since I came. I've not been able to.
So I
hope this evening we can touch it. I want to talk about the priesthood of the soul. We're saying the soul is the priest. Amen. I know it's new to many of us. How can the soul be the priest? What you know is a priest is someone who has a white collar. Oh, you know the catechist. It's even a profession. But God is saying the priest is somebody or something that is even different. And that you or your soul is the priest. Now it's very deep and very, very big. We can't get into all of it. But what I want to do is to give us a foundation. I always like foundation. Because I believe that when you have a foundation, for those who really want to move on with the Lord, you will build on it. You will build on it. Amen. So I've written down some scriptures. We're going to read.
Yes, good.
The first scripture I want to read is from Peter. First Peter chapter. First Peter chapter 1. I would like you to write it down. And if God helps us, we will be able to have time so that we can ask a few questions. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, it says, receiving the end or the end of the journey, end of your faith, even the salvation of my soul. This is the apostolic vision. The salvation of the soul is the apostolic vision. Amen. And I tell you, any investment made that doesn't contribute to this, God will not anoint it. It will just be a religious activity. And from today, judge it. Anyone who begins to talk about the heart, any word that searches your inward part, God anoints it. That is the place God will put his investment. So the apostolic vision is the salvation of my soul. The most important thing to God in all the world is what? He says, what shall it profit a man to gain all the world and to lose his soul? So what is he doing? He's comparing all the world to the value of your soul. Is it not so? Amen. So what should be your focus? If you are a doctor like me, that doctor should help me to save my soul. Although when you are a doctor, you will have problem in saving your soul. So you have to work harder. Amen. Because there is a spirit that goes with doctors, including lawyers too, and all the other people. There is a spirit that goes with every profession. So I am Brother Chijoke. You know who I am? I'm your brother. So just leave it like that. Amen. Because I want to save my soul. Amen. Uh-huh. Okay, so that's one. Now, the Bible says that every word of God is established by two or three witnesses. So we have seen one witness. This is Peter, isn't it also? Okay, we need one more witness. Okay, Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Which one? Just read it though, because I... Okay, read it.
Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto them, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them, that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven.
Amen.
Which things the angels desire to look into.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. So we have seen that, and just to say it for the younger ones, this the apostolic vision is not rapture. It's not rapture. It's not flying away. Now, if the apostolic vision is the salvation of your soul, what does it mean practically? What it means is that I must be ready to change. Every day I must be changing. Every day my soul, my mind, my emotions, my desire must be changing. If you ask my wife, she will tell you that this brother has been changing. I can call her now and she will tell you that this brother is here. I used to be a trouble person in the past, but now I'm not a good brother. I'm not as a good brother now. Hey, I'm changing. Hallelujah. I will ask you. Amen. If you ask the brethren I fellowship with them, tell them that brother is changing.
Amen.
When we ask the people you are fellowshipping with, will they say you are changing? Amen. It's very practical. You must be changing. Because This is the you are the center of what God is doing. When you wake up every day, that today is a day of change. When you go to work, that work you're working, God is using it to change you. So sometimes when you are due for promotion, they will not give you. So that God will test you, whether you will pray, God, destroy everybody in my office. Kill all the witches in my office. You pray like that, then God will begin to deal with his son. God will begin to deal with his daughter. Because you must change. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if you are not changing, it means you believe ultimate reconciliation. Rapture is ultimate reconciliation. You go to the Tropicana Hotel and sleep. Then one day you hear papa, 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 you fly. If Nigeria is go to heaven, there will be a coup in heaven. is that also? When we go there will be a coup. So God must change you before, particularly Nigeria, so must change before we go there. Amen. So you must change.
Amen.
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 So change is the name of the game. When you are married, get ready for change. Every time in my house, my wife is giving away. I like to keep tithes. No, this tithe. Both the one I want to, I don't want, I buy them and keep them in my house. I like them. So by the time I travel, I come back, all the tithes have been given out. So I said, no problem. Because I'm ready for change. I have to change my habit. Okay, enough for that. So, the apostolic vision is the salvation of the soul. Now, we're going to go on a journey. I want to show you the soul in action. Go with me to Genesis chapter 14. Okay, I was going to read Hebrews. Hebrews 10:31. Okay. Sorry, don't mind me. I don't have a script. I'm just following the unction as it comes. Hebrews 38:39. Hebrews 10:38-39. He said, okay, go on, read.
Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Amen. Amen. So this is So this is, we have two scriptures now, isn't it also?
Yes.
Okay, let's go to Genesis. Genesis 14. To save time, I want you to read with the, is it the Ibom translation? Epic, read that one. Then those who are reading English, read, because we have many places to go to. I don't want us to read double, we will waste time. So read, then they'll follow you. 14 verse 18, 19, and 20. Genesis 14, 18, 19, 20. Have you seen it?
Yes. Melchizedek, he did a father, not sure who you are, Eddie. And you know what he woke up. Oku abasibom yen enye jom yen eje abasibom andi yen yon jayisom osuga jom abram eni wen toro abasibom eni yada adem me aswafo esin tuite ubok yen enye syo uba kukrum bo kiet 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 kiet.
Now this Melchizedek, what did he bring? He brought bread and wine. So the bread and wine he brought was an offering. Amen. And he blessed Abraham. So Melchizedek, of course, the Bible says he was the priest of the Most High God. Now, when did the law begin? When did the law begin? The law did not begin with
Abraham.
The law began many years. In fact, Galatians say 430 years later was when the law began in Moses. So a Bible student will ask, if Moses began after Abraham and this Melchizedek, then which priesthood were they following before the law started? Who was the priest before Moses came? Which priesthood were they following? Answer now. Who was the priest? So the law was just brought in temporarily, according to Galatians. The law was a schoolmaster. There was a high priest that was there before the law came. And when the law has served its purpose to go away, the real priest will continue. Hallelujah. Okay, don't get too excited. Psalm 119:110. Write it down so that you will go and check. Psalm 110. This is many centuries after. At least 2,000 years separated the first scripture with this one we are reading now. Psalm 110 verse verse 4 and 5. Go. I should be staying this side so that my people will read, my dear.
The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.
If you are a spiritual cunning man like me, you know I'm a spiritual cunning man. I look for all the tricks and I put my leg inside. So it means that there is a priesthood that will not change. Is it not so? Amen. There is a priesthood that will not change. And that priesthood is the priesthood of Melchizedek. Amen. So anything I'm doing, I must make sure I stay very close to Melchizedek. That I'm even part of that Melchizedek priesthood. Because the Lord has won and will not change. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, good. So the question is, let us find out who this Melchizedek is.
Who
must find out who this man is? Okay, follow me. Let's go to Hebrews. This another 2,000 years on top.
what the task is for the man to look at.
Hebrews chapter 7. There's a foundation that is better. Hebrews chapter 5. Who is reading from here now? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Who's reading?
And one.
Let's go. Let's go that side. Put that side. Okay, don't worry. That was many years ago. I'm not dull of hearing now. God, I want to hear of Melchizedek. How many people are dull of hearing? Me, I'm not there. I say, God, speak. I want to hear about Melchizedek. Are you dull of hearing? Brian? No. Now I want to hear about Melchizedek.
Amen.
Now let me ask you. He said this man that he is a high priest. Is there anybody higher than the high priest? So you say somebody is called to be the high priest. So now let's find out the name of that person. Is it not so? Let's go to the next chapter, chapter 6. And we will see the name of the man that is the high priest. Okay, verse 20. Who was that, my friend, who stood up that time? I think you have read before now.
Yeah,
read before. I think you are going to read. Oh, yeah, read for us. Read for us verse 20. 6:20. These are the preachers that are coming in. Read. Hebrews 6:20. Have you seen it?
Where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a priest forever after.
You don't need to beg God or add anything. The scriptures are very clear. He said that he made Jesus the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. So have we landed? So this Melchizedek has been the priest of God. We saw before even Abraham came. Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek. Even Levi, who became the priest, but the Bible says he paid tithe to Melchizedek. And the Bible says, surely the greater blesses the lesser. Oh yeah, now, with your brethren, let's talk now. So who is stronger, Melchizedek or the Old Testament?
Melchizedek.
Good. Next question. Which priesthood are you following? Which priesthood are you following?
The one that lasts.
Don't be talking anyhow. It's good to say the truth. It's good to be honest.
Yes.
Which one are we following?
I can hear forget.
Hallelujah. You are following the new order. Okay, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, but we have not finished though. We have just established that Jesus is the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. Amen. And there is nobody higher than him. So he is the Alpha. And he is the Omega. Amen. Good. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. Okay, I'm going to move faster now. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Okay, brother, read. Verse 16 and 17. Okay. So he's saying very clear that you are the temple of the living God, of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So if you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, there is also another temple in Jerusalem. So under which priesthood are you the temple? Are we the temple of God under the priesthood of Aaron? Good. So our own priesthood, because there are only two priesthoods, there are not three. Okay? So if our priesthood is not according to that of Aaron, it therefore means that in this new priesthood, the temple is not a physical building. Is that clear? The temple is not a physical building. Instead, the temple is what God has always had in mind. That man will be not just his dwelling place, but will be the place of his glory. So I want you to stop for a moment. Do you see yourself as the temple of God? Do you behave as the temple of God? Think of all the things you did last week. Were you behaving as the temple of God? If you are not behaving as the temple of God, which priesthood have you been following? Which priesthood have we been following? If it is not black, it is white. If it is not white, it is black. But the end time people say, no, there is a new color. It's called blue, black, white. So we stay in the middle. We are neither hot or cold. We are neither white or black. We're in the middle. White or black is black. You want the scripture? God is light. And in that God there is no darkness at all. I don't know if you are getting the impact of what we're saying. I can write the doctrine for myself. I can reduce the standard for myself. That's my standard. God's standard remains sure. The foundation of God remains sure. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Let's read the next scripture. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 6. No, verse 19 and 20.
That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you,
Okay. Have you read 20?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, in that 20, there's one word that is of interest to us. What is that word? That's what I know about fries. There's one word there. Because what we are trying to establish is the priest, is the soul the priest. So we must prove that the soul is the priest. What does it mean to glorify? Huh? Yes, where are the English people? What does glorify mean? We glorify you. We worship you. We bless you. Let her tell us. What does
to make big?
Now, so when you are installing and you are making big, what are you doing? Are you worshiping the person? Wait, now let the English person tell us. Are you worshiping the person, or you are bringing the person down?
You are not bringing the person down. You bring yourself down and make up the person.
So what he is saying is that in your body, so you are the temple of God, is it not so? So who is that the priest inside the temple that is bringing worship to God? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the temple of Moses, there was the temple, is it not so? Who was the priest there? It was the Levites. Those were, they were functioning inside. In fact, if your father was not Aaron, you couldn't be a priest. You will not even pass the outer court. You cannot get into the holy place if your father was not Aaron. And let me tell you something that you may not have realized. Did Jesus enter the holy place? Brother. Is there any scripture that says Jesus entered the holy place? Of the old temple now. Is there any place that any scripture that says Jesus entered this temple of Moses or Solomon? Why did he not enter? Because he was not from the tribe of Levi. His father was not Aaron. So if this Jesus, who is your high priest, didn't bother going inside the holy place and all those places, the Bible says, he taketh away the old, that he might bring in the new. So he came to begin a new priesthood. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the head of a new priesthood. And you are that priesthood. But you have switched off. And we have gone back to the old priesthood. You say, God, leave that one. We like the old one better. We want a pastor. Okay, we want a group of pastors called elders. Okay, you didn't hear what I said. You want a group of pastors called elders. Hallelujah. I'm going to their church. Let me go hear what they will say. Say, brother, did you see how the fellowship went today? We have to pray for those brothers. Right? That the Lord will have mercy on them. Hey, Jesus. Amen. You know, the time has gone far, far, far. But we still have an injury time. Do you understand? There's still a little time for us. Amen. We must repent. I'm the chief repenter. Do you understand? Because we have been following a very wrong vision. We say we have come out, we didn't know where what we came out from. We didn't even know where we were going to. He said, brother, they say come out. Hey, come out, where? You got the banana, yeah, let's go.
I will watch you.
Yeah, of course you got the banana. After singing for 6 months. You go to your wife and say, this thing is not working now. This is not working now. Some have gone back to redeem. Is it not so? Some have gone back to the places they came from. Because the thing was not working. Amen. But it's not working.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's working. So inside you is the priesthood. The members of your body are the priest. Your mind. Your emotions. All those members, those are the priests of God. In Revelation 4 and 5, you see them there. Even Isaiah had a vision in chapter 6. He saw the cherubims. Anyway, that was for another day. Amen. A young man called Ezekiel, he saw them. He had a vision in captivity when there was no food. No food. He was doing service. In heavy labor. In the midst of heavy labor, God opened his eyes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You say, I don't have NEPA, I can't read in my Bible. Who told you? Use light and read your Bible. Study to show yourself approved with candle.
Amen.
Amen. And the heavens will open for you. Amen. There's no excuse. The man was a captive. And the heavens opened. And he began to see the throne of God. Hallelujah. So this place is telling us very clear that we are that temple of God. Let's read one more. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We read 14 to 16. 2 Corinthians 4, 14 to... sorry, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Chapter 6, sorry. 14 to 18, yes. Uh-huh. Hold on. Okay.
Together with unbelievers, for what righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does the believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Said, I will live in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people.
Okay. So, of course, it's based on that. He said, come out from among them. So he's saying there's a temple of God and also the temple of idols. But it so happens that man is both. It is either you are a temple of idols or you are the temple of God. We will come to that later. So these scriptures are telling us clearly about this temple of God, this connection. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. So, brother, read this one. Verse 19 to 22. Ephesians 2,
19 to 22.
Amen. So who is the habitation of God? Amen. When the individual temples come together, it becomes the city of temples. Amen. That's what you mean, the city of God. When the individual temples come together, we become a city of temples. Amen. So say, in my father's house there is what? Many mansions, many dwelling places, many habitations. Amen. That is the house of God, and God is building this house. But let me show you one trick. That's one trick. It is a trap that many people fall into. Do you know how this house is being built? No noise. No noise. The Temple of Solomon, all the noise was in the mountain. That's where they cut the stones, in the mountain. They take it from the mountain, they just feed them. Many of us are looking for noise. God is doing a quiet work. He's joining it stone by stone. Hallelujah. You know, the stones are different shapes, different circumstances. Look at me now. I have four girls. I don't have any boy. I have not even noticed I don't have any boy. Brother, do you understand? But some people say, that brother, child, God have mercy on him. He doesn't have any son. Hey! Oh God. They come and look at you very well. And you cry that you don't have any son. I have not noticed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Stone by stone. Don't you understand? It has to be different. Different situations. Don't copy another person. You have your own special design. Hallelujah. It's a special design. So don't try to be like another person. Hallelujah. Amen. You want to copy, you want to say, my God. Don't say my God, say my God. That's how you talk. My God. Don't say my God. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't try to be an American. I mean, I live in this place. It is God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Look, take away the mask. Take away the mask. And be real. Amen. Hallelujah. Be naked. That's fellowship. Fellowship means to be naked with one another. And you're not afraid your brother is going to stab you. Because all the swords have been beaten to plowshares. Don't you understand? Amen. God will bring us there. Hallelujah. Where we'll be naked one with another. Hallelujah. So that's just one trick. No noise. But it's a big mansion God is building. Hallelujah. So when God is dealing with you, just submit. You must overcome where you are. Because that overcoming is for the whole church. Don't you understand? God must show that there will be a people that will overcome darkness in even the worst situations.
Amen.
So every one of us, we are unique. So in that position God put you, overcome that. Don't seek to go somewhere else. In that place, overcome. Okay, so that is trick number two, you know. Okay, so let's go. Amen. So Ephesians is saying that we have been built a spiritual house. Well, that is one witness. Do you hear that kind of language anywhere else in the Bible? Let's go to Peter. So I've heard Paul, we need to hear Peter. Because by the word of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Chapter 5 and then 9. The brother will read to save time.
Okay.
Verse 9. Read verse 10.
Amen.
Now he's saying these people, they offer spiritual sacrifices. Which kind of sacrifice were they offering in the temple of Solomon? Physical sacrifices. Amen. But in this house, we offer spiritual sacrifice. Okay, I will take 2 minutes to write something on the board. 2 minutes, we'll come back. Now, in the temple of Solomon, there were 5 types of offering that they were offering. So, if you assume that this is the outer court, so this is the most holy place, this is the holy place, and then this is the outer court. You had a big altar here, it's called the altar of brass. Now in this temple there was always offering. So there was always offering. There was fire that was always burning. So there were 5 different types of offering that they were offering here. You can find them in Leviticus chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They tell you about all the different offerings. One of those offerings was the sin offering. So he had the sin offering. And this has to do within the, you know, has to deal with the relationship between you and God. There was what they called the trespass offering. The trespass offering was an offering dealing with relationship between you and your brother. There was another one called meat offering. The meat or meal offering. Now, this has to do with fellowship. It was the fellowship of the brethren together. The fourth one was what they call the burnt offering. The burnt offering was a consecration offering. It was offered all through the night. Every part of the animal was burnt. Everything was offered to God. In the first one and second one, it was the blood that was offered. But in the burnt offering, every part of the animal was burnt. So it is a consecration offering. Amen. And the offering was given to God. Then the last one was what they call the peace offering. Amen. Now, these are the five different types of offerings that were offered in the tabernacle of Moses. Now, these same offerings should be offered in you. But when we come to fellowship, and in our relationship with God, end time people will not even know the offering to bring. So of course are hearing of this offering for the first time. Yet you are supposed to be a priest. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Bible says that the what's that scripture that says that the in Timothy says the husbandman must labor. Not just being a partaker, but the one that says that the man that is laboring must be a mastery of what he's doing. I can't remember the scripture. I'll remember it. So if you are supposed to be a priest, you must have the offering to bring to God, because God is accepting offering from you. Amen, brother. There's another one. It's not that one. Not that one. I remember it. Don't worry. But what I'm trying to make, brethren, is that many of us, when we come, we don't have any offerings to give. Even in our individual communion with God, we do not have any offering to give. Now, let's look at the board. If there is no offering, there will not be any fire. And that's why many of us, there's no fire in our lives, because we don't have any offering to give to God. Why are you so quiet? Why are we so quiet? Are you sleeping? Why are you so quiet? You say you are a priest. Which offerings are you bringing now as a priest? You are hearing about the offering for the first time. Yes, you say you are a priest. Amen. Amen. We must repent.
Amen.
Say repent and go and do the first works. But Isaac was telling us today the pillars of the church life, isn't it so? One of those pillars is what? Prayers. Fasting and prayer. Now, what do you do when you pray? God, look, that contract, just give it to me. Oh, Jesus, you know I love you. You know I will do anything for you. Just give me that contract. What does it have?
Kenyan Jesus.
You say one of the things and then you will be crying. Come to the board, see what you are supposed to do. You are supposed to bring offering to God. You are supposed to bring spiritual sacrifice. Amen. For sin. My little children, do nothing. If you have anything, what do? You come for forgiveness. Do nothing. Amen. Number two, If when you come, you're having a problem with your brother, what do? Leave your gift there. Go and win your brother. Amen. That is an offering. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then what do? Burnt offering. You offer yourself to God. You come to church, only one sister is this church. How many sisters are there in this church? There's only one sister or two. I guarantee you, no more than three that will be sweeping the church. Do you have a roster for sweeping the church? In the Heaven Life Church of Ikoja Ebene, there is a roster. But here, there is no roster. You see, you cannot eat your cake and have it. That is man's order. There is a roster. This one is the order of the Holy Ghost. You get the roster in the spirit. Amen. So when you are praying, you bring your offering to God. And you are offering yourself to God. So you get up, go and sweep the church. Is it only me sweeping this church? It's an offering. Give it to God and go home. Amen. There are many things to do in this place, but nobody is doing it because nobody is bringing an offering. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you start bringing an offering, you will see many needs in the church. There are people who are wearing the same shirt for the past December. Only one shirt they are wearing. They wash it in the night. By morning it's dry and they wear it. And they say hallelujah. Your wardrobe is filled with shirts that you have not worn for 5 years. Hallelujah. Who is bringing offering? Offering is only when you want to preach. Forget this place though. Those of us here, we are in trouble. There's a lot of trouble here. So keep away from here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you go to God, God will show you your spiritual sacrifice. Amen. As you begin to commune with God, God will begin to speak. You develop a relationship with God. It's called burnt offering. You offer it to God. And when you offer it, nobody should thank you. You are an unprofitable servant. You have only done what God, in fact, you have not even done enough. So if they don't say thank you, say, can you imagine this brethren? All the suffering. Nobody is saying thank you. They wouldn't even notice me. So you come there and show them. You come very early and you are sweeping. So that they see that you are sweeping. Hallelujah. It's God that will reward you. Amen. So you find that in the church, we are behaving like a people who don't have direction. Because we are not following the apostolic vision. Amen. So I'm a priest, I have offerings to give to God. He said, present your body as a living sacrifice. It's an offering. Hallelujah. Keeping your body pure is an offering. Sometimes it may cost you. So say you have not resisted unto blood. Okay. You have not resisted unto blood. You are in the office, they promoted everybody, only you, not promoted. What would you do? You must not make it an issue. You will still do your work. Because you are doing it as unto God. Amen. Because it's an offering you are bringing to God, not to man. So, when we talk of spiritual offering, it is an offering to God. You're not looking at anybody. When you give your offering, you give it to God. When you fast to God. When God shows you something wrong in the church, not to talk about it. It's for you to go and pray. Amen. You wait on God and pray. And in that place of prayer, God will also show you. He will show you that the prayer has been answered. Amen. So Peter is telling us that we are a royal priesthood. And we have spiritual sacrifices to
make.
Praise the Lord. Now, we are going to change our gear. And we are going to go to the second part of the message. So, it's clear from the scriptures that the soul is a priest. As the scripture in Ezekiel chapter 18 that says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Do you know it? Now, man has three parts, isn't it also? Why didn't you say the spirit that sinneth shall die? Or the body that sinneth shall die? The soul that sinneth shall die. The responsibility is on the soul. Hallelujah. The responsibility is on the soul. It's the soul that sins. And it is the soul that must be saved. Don't you understand? Amen. The spirit came from God. And Ecclesiastes says, when you die, I'm not hoping to die. Amen. Okay, let's leave that side. Hallelujah. That when the man dies, the spirit goes back to God that gave it. The body returns to the ground. For dust thou art, and to dust shall you return. But the soul must go to God for judgment. So the responsibility is on the soul. So our responsibility is to change and to save our soul. And to make sure that every other soul around us is also saved. That is the apostolic vision. Amen. Good. Now, what is this soul? Now, one of the things that Brother Dusil did was that he brought to us the revelation about the soul. Now, that's what marked his ministry out from the others. I am not a Dusilite. I said, I'm not a Dusilite. I'm not a Paulite. What's your name? DJ, I'm not a DJ. What's your name? Isaac. I'm not an Isaac Kite. What's your old name? I'm not an Ebere Ice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So let me give you one. Number three trick. Any man who has the word of God, I will be on the front seat. I don't care who you are. If you have the word of the Lord, I will be on the front seat. Anywhere, I will follow you and make sure I get everything. Hallelujah. So don't look at faces. The word belongs to God. Amen. It is God, not by doctrine or anybody's doctrine. So when you go to scripture, you will see that the word that Brother Dusil brought, many before him have been preaching it. Now I read Ezekiel. Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 10. Isaiah 6. Revelation 4, 5. In fact, the whole of Revelation. They are all talking about the ministry of the soul. Hallelujah. So God had mercy on us and brought that word through him. Amen. And the message is above the messenger. That's number four trick. The message is above the messenger. Because the messenger is a man that is carrying the message of God. Don't you understand? He must labor to live up to the message. If you start pointing out faults in the man's life, say, it's not this Peter that denied Jesus. Say, this Peter, he denied Jesus. What good can come from him? You are missing the point. The message is the Lord. The man is a messenger. Hallelujah. That is struggling to also overcome. Amen. Hallelujah. So, he brought that word about the soul. And when you look at scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, it's about soul. Everything there is about soul. Everything there is about soul. The stories that you find in the whole of the Old Testament, God used it to show you different characteristics of the soul of man. So he says, Abraham, you must come out from your country. You must come out from your tribe. And you must come out from your family. Well, when you study it very closely, you will notice that there are three nations of soul. The soul has three nations. Amen. So when you told Abraham, come out from your nation, you can look at it and say, well, it means he was telling him he should not be from Iraq or Iran. Even though you can apply that word at the first level, every word of God has three dimensions. There is a natural dimension, there is a spiritual dimension, then there is the fullness of the spiritual dimension. Amen. So say, Abraham, come out. Amen. And Abraham had to come out. Even at the natural level, let's take the natural level. So God is saying, you must come out from Nigeria, is it not so? You must come out from your tribe, is it not so? I must come out from family. Because there are national spirits. I'm still praying God should deliver me from national spirits. You know, each time Nigeria is playing football, I say, God, deliver your son. I say, God, deliver your son. Hallelujah. Amen. Should I touch it? Some people are sleeping. Should I touch it? Amen. Amen. The why I'm watching the match is because there is a spirit that must be fed. I know about it, and we're dealing with it. Amen. There's a tribal spirit. When I hear an Igbo man speak, I feel sweet in my heart. I'm not talking about you people, though. I'm talking about it. I remember one time we went to Hungary and we saw in Nigeria, and when he began to speak in Nigerian intonation, I felt very sweet in my tongue. There is a life we get from the national, tribal, and then family. Amen. Are you ready to come out? Are we ready to come out? Because this priesthood has no father, no mother. This priesthood, there is no father or mother. Have you noticed? Anytime the family of Jesus came close to him, he was always harsh to them. Is that correct? They say your mother is at the door. He said, very good. Say, who is my mother? And the woman was hearing it too. This is my brother, who is my brother? He said, my mother and my sister are those who do the will of God. Amen. He was passing the message that this is not about family. Amen. So are we willing to be part of this Melchizedek priesthood? Because these are the things that we have to deal with. Amen. So we're talking about the soul. That the soul has four natures. I'm sure you already know that. The soul has four natures. Those natures are actually realms of the spirit. Now, those four natures. Those four natures are realms of the spirit. I feel a special anointing in the hall now. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because see, this one is of interest to God. Don't you understand? He puts his money where his interest is. Amen. Let me ask you a question. How do you think God will dwell in you? How will God say he wants to dwell in you? Do you know who God is? If you go 30,000 feet above you won't see any human being in you. And the sun is how many million years away, brother? And there are many suns. And then there are many stars. Then there are many groups of stars. There are millions and billions and billions of groups of stars. And God knows the name of all of them. And that God says he wants to live in you. We need to wake up. MTN has woken up. MTN has woken up. If everybody in this room is making phone call on MTN network, there will not be any interference. You believe it? MTN will judge all of us.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Because we believe MTN, but we don't believe the Bible. Hallelujah. So your soul is a frequency of the spirit. Any word you like, if you like wavelength or frequency or realm or dimension or whichever one, just manufacture any good one. But just know that inside you is a realm of the spirit. Heaven is in you. For it said the kingdom of God is coming where? Because the depth in man is the depth God put for himself. Hallelujah. Man is not just body. He has a soul. Sorry, he is soul. That lives in a body. And by the way, this body is going to change very soon. This body will stop eating garri and afan soup. This one.
Yes.
So anytime I'm eating up and soup, I say, don't worry, very soon we will stop. Don't you understand?
Yeah.
This body was not made to eat up and soup. It was made to be fed with the energy of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right now, we are operating in a very low energy. And then you and I will think this is where we shall remain. We shall all be changed. In a moment.
Amen.
You know, moment means in a fit time of God's visitation.
Yes.
That's what it means. And that moment is now. The saints of God are arising. Are you among them? Hallelujah.
Amen.
This body must change. And Jesus showed us that body. And he passed through wall. They were all gathered, they were afraid. He came in their midst. The children, have you any fish? Give me fish. Give me bread. He says, look at me. So put your hand. He put his hand. Say, for a spirit.
For a spirit.
Does not have or does not eat fish. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are different kinds of bodies. And we are very soon going to get another new body. But you see, the body cannot change except the soul changes. Don't you understand? It is the energy, it is the energy in the soul that is going to change the body. It is the energy in your body, in your soul that will change your own body, not my body. Don't you understand? So it says one star differs from another star in glory. So if you say you don't want to change, where a tree falls, there it will lie. Hallelujah. The change you are going to have is going to be the result of the oil in your soul. Hallelujah. So God has designed the soul in a very unique form. Because this soul is the eternal priest of God. What do you understand?
Yeah.
When the Bible talks about the 24 elders,
before
24 is the number of priesthood. There were 24 sections of the priesthood. Each one of them served at a particular time. Very soon, the soul will mature to the place of being, you know, where it says they are elder. That word elder just means matured. Right now, the soul of man is in bondage. It's under servant. It's a servant. It's being ruled by lust and bitterness, all kinds of spirits. But very soon, the soul is going to break forth. The mind is going to break forth. The emotion will break forth. The desire and the will will break forth. And they will come to liberty. So the Bible said that all creation, don't you understand, is groaning and waiting and desiring for that manifestation of the sons of God. So this manifestation is within you. Hallelujah. That is the breaking news in the church. That's the breaking news. That we shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. Amen. But there is something you need to see. Okay, if quarter to nine. So we still have some time. We should close that go. Okay, we can take a few minutes. I haven't heard anything. Are we going on or what? Quarter to nine. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read that one. That will be the last. Then we'll close. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is the scripture that tells us the connection between the spirit and the soul. A brother was praying a prayer. He said, when God is judging, God will judge those who are closest to him, isn't it
also?
So the judgment will start from the house of God. Well, when you look at the nature of the soul, you can represent it in six circles. So the first circle is for God the Father. The second one is for God the Son. The third one is for the Holy Ghost. Okay, sorry, I mean that. So this for the Son, and then this for the Holy Ghost. Then this is for the body, for the human body. This is for the soul. And then this is for the human spirit. Amen. So you have a direction that the light flows. It's coming from the Father to the Son to the Holy Ghost, and then from the Holy Ghost to your own spirit. Because the Bible says that our spirit is in fellowship with the Spirit of God, isn't it so? And that the Spirit of God witnesses to our spirit that we are the sons of God, isn't it so? Okay, so when you look at the board, you will see, so this is the Holy Ghost, this is the spirit of man. So you see that the soul of man is very close to the spirit. Now when you look within the soul of man, so assuming this is the soul, you have the mind. This is the mind. This is the emotion. This is the desire. And then this is the will. Okay. Now, the mind is linked to the realm of the spirit. The part of the mind of the soul that is in fellowship with the spirit is the mind. The part of you that is in fellowship with the realms of the spirit is the mind. So the mind is the doorway into the soul. And the Bible says the mind is the east gate, through which the Spirit of God should come into the soul of man. So, but the soul also has five other gates. And these are the gates of the senses. So you have the hearing. You have the taste. You have touch. You have smell. And then sight. So these are the five senses of the body. Now the body is in fellowship with the soul. So the senses you have in your body, you have in your soul also. When you go home after this fellowship, tell your wife to fry plantain. As she starts frying plantain, you begin to be happy. Is that correct? Answer now, you're so tired, you want to go home.
Yes, sir.
When she starts frying plantain, you'll be happy.
Yes.
So there's a connection between the plantain and your soul. Amen. Say amen now, say amen, sister. There's a connection between your body and your soul. And when you are fasting, you have just started the fast. Then somebody starts frying plantain. Sister, you know the fasting will end that day. Does that happen to us? Okay, it doesn't. Okay, it happens to me, not you. People are. So there's a connection between the soul and the body. The devil knows it. But you and I, we don't know it. We say it's not important. So the senses in the body are doorways for devils to enter into our soul. But the brother was talking about watching certain kinds of films, or even reading certain kinds of stories. As you begin to see, your soul opens up, and the spirit, they come in. Now, why are we doing all this? We are doing it to enable us to overcome the devil in our soul. This is the reason why we are not overcoming. Because we don't know how to fight this warfare. Now, Peter says that we should flee from youthful lust. That war, fleshly law, that war against the soul. I don't have time to show you, but the devil has something that he offers to you or to me. And the devil offers passions, pleasure, the pleasure of things. Eve saw the fruit. Is it not so? It was good for food. Is it not so? It was desirable for her. Is it not so? And she went and took it. So all the senses of her body, we are working within her soul. And it has not changed. The problems that we have in our flesh is because of the nature of our soul. The devil has only one trick. He will give you passion. Babylon has passions. Do you know what those passions are? The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And the pride of life. Those are the three headquarters of darkness. If you want to overcome, you must overcome at that point. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. Now, there are three types of soul. I'm just rounding up. There are three types of soul. That's what the Bible calls the carnal man. The carnal man, you can see it on the board. His spirit is dead. Cancelled. So that's a natural man. That man cannot receive anything from God. Because as far as he's concerned, God is dead. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
I'll soon close, then you can go. By the way, I should have gone, though. We should have to stay. So just give me a few minutes. Let me finish. Amen. The natural man does not receive life from God. Sorry, I can't read that scripture. So when you go home, you look at it. First one, he said the natural man does not receive the things of the spirit. Because they are spiritually discerned. He's dead. It's like a beast. It's like a dog. No spirit. His spirit is detached from the spirit of God. But it has to eat. You must have energy. Where will he buy from? He must buy from the flesh. So he's a carnal man. He gets life by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's how he gets his energy. He doesn't get his energy from God. Okay? Now, so that's the natural man. But there is another man. That man, his spirit is now quickened. He can receive life from God. But he is still receiving life from the flesh. And that is where. Okay, not you. That's where I am. That was what the Bible calls the carnal man. This soul is ruled by his senses. He can receive life from God. But you see, he's not really excited at God. His emotion is not yet excited at God. His eyes are still blind. Don't you understand? He's still blind. You understand? The devil has blinded him. He has just has a little light. He only knows a little of God. He has seen the kingdom. So look, all these things of the spirit, I don't understand it. Heaven must be very dull. Heaven must be very dull. So dull, boring. God must be very boring. When I want to have excitement, I go to the internet. Ping, 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 ping. You get more life talking to your friends than talking to God. You get more life hearing other people talk than hearing from God. Once in a while, when your neighbor or when you are in problem, you remember God, then you start crying out to God. When I'm under pressure, I remember God. When the pressure is removed, I go back to my normal self. That is a sensual man. That is still feeding from the earth. But that's the spiritual man. This spiritual man, all his spring is from God. So he's being fed by the Spirit. And those are the seven spirits mentioned in Ezekiel, Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11 is actually the lampstand. Because in the lampstand, how many lamps do you have there? Seven. That is the enlightenment of the soul. Now let me tell you something. The lampstand is meant to give you an inner light. Do you hear what I said? The lampstand is supposed to give you an inner light. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You didn't hear what I said? The lampstand is the experience where the soul begins to have an inner light. The eyes of the understanding begin to open. I don't know if you understand. When the eyes begin to open, hallelujah,
amen,
then Paul said, we shall know as we are known. We will no longer see darkly as a bright shining. And we can see and know as we are known. So there is a place where you and I must come to. We must come to the experience of the lampstand. And to the experience of the table of shewbread. And the lampstand and the table of shewbread are that walk in which the soul is changed. My mind must put on the nature of light. My emotion must put on the nature of light. Because my husband is light, don't you understand? The nature of Jesus is light. So you see that church, she was clothed with the sun. Amen. So in closing, I see that you are tired, you want to go and lie down, no problem. We are saying that there is a journey for the soul. And that journey of the soul is to be lifted up. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, that is how far my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. There are spiritual thoughts. There are carnal thoughts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's own thoughts are at the frequency of light. If we have read, the Bible said that the wisdom of God is taught in the words. The Spirit of God speaks to the mind. The Spirit of God does not speak to you by making you feel good. And the Lord made Moses feel good. And Moses knew he should go and build a temple.
Moses said, "You are going to give up."
Is that what the Bible said? And the Lord spoke to Moses. And said to him, "The mind is a heavenly creation of God. Right now it's carnal. And we have reduced it to Ibibio and Alpha and Alpha and Ibo. And Ibo. But that mind is a heavenly creation of God. The mind is like that of the ego, isn't it so? It doesn't need to come down to the earth. It dwells in the heavens. That's how the mind is. The mind has three natures. There is the conscious mind. There is the unconscious mind. And then there is the depth of the unconscious mind. That talks about the loins of the mind. And it is in that place that life is battered. And the priest of God must be cleansed. Our heavens must be cleansed. Hallelujah. Some of us, we dream in the night. And when the devil wants to attack, he attacks in the dream. And we are afraid. I'm looking at us and we are afraid. Do you know why? Because we are terrified by the things that happen in the night. In the night season. The reason is because we do not know who we are. That your mind does not sleep. When you sleep, your conscious mind is switched off. And the unconscious is switched on. And the devil has access to your unconscious mind. So he can give you dreams, he can speak to you. He can command you to do things when you are sleeping. You wake up, whether you like it or not, that day you must walk in that direction. Isn't that so? Okay, it doesn't happen to you, it happens to me. Hallelujah. But not anymore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because I know that God will cleanse my heavens. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because this temple must be dedicated. Every part of my temple must be dedicated to God. Hallelujah. A young man, they said, "Tell me the dream. Then I know you know the interpretation." Don't you understand? How did Daniel know the dream? How did he know the interpretation also? Oh my God. We are coming to a new dimension. You know, Jesus knew their thoughts. He was playing before him. And that Jesus had the same spirit that is in you. So the church is coming. The time is coming in now when there is nothing that will happen and we will not know. Before the devil makes a move, we will know. We will know the details. Where he is coming from, where he is going, what he wants to do. That is a church that is rising. Do you understand? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because see, there is a realm of the spirit where these things are stored. Don't you understand? How did Moses know my Lord said to my Lord? How did Moses know what God said? God said, and said, let there be light. How did he know? So, brethren, we have work to do. We must rise. We must realize that we are that temple. The devil knows that you are the temple. And he's already working on you. But we are cutting it off. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God can speak to you. He said to the young man, get up. Take this baby, go into Egypt. And when he woke up, before Herod got, the baby was gone. Don't you understand? You can be miles ahead of the devil. Before he comes, you already have the information. You go to your office. The man walks in. You have already seen the man. God has already told you what the man will say. God has already showed you what is in his eyes. And you start smiling. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand what we are saying? That is the church God is raising. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have work to do. And that work is to begin to change our strategy. To know that we are the center of the universe. All creation is on us. Hallelujah. There is a depth that is in you. And God is beginning to raise up sons that will rule on this earth as kings and priests. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 I think I give you some questions.
Well,
the natural man, the carnal man, the future.
Yes. There are three types of soul. The natural man. That's the man that is not born again. It's one level. The Bible refers to it in Revelation 13 as the people who are in the sea. So there is a realm of the sea. That's the lowest. And the Bible said that the sea is filled of nations and peoples and tongues and all that. Amen. Then you have a second level. That is the earth. That is the carnal people, isn't it also?
You
say the beast looked like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. So it's a place of mixture. It's a place of religion. So the man has a life of God. He can receive from the things of God. But he's still ruled by his appetite. He's still ruled by his flesh. And that's where I am. Now, there is the last one. That's the realm of the heavens. And in that realm of life, the soul is completely detached from the earth. And is fed by the river of God. And Jesus was that example. Amen. He was on earth, but he was communing with God. Amen. So those are the three dimensions. The natural man, he draws life from his environment. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know anything called God. He's not interested in God. He is dead. He is like a widow. And the Bible said that the high priest must not marry a widow. Jesus, that is the high priest, cannot marry that kind of wife. Because as far as the widow is concerned, the husband is dead. Amen. And Jesus cannot marry a beast also.
And he can marry the long man.
The first Adam didn't marry beast. Is it the second Adam that married this?
No, I mean,
he brought the, he said, look at them, marry, take one. Say,
no,
say God, I haven't seen anyone I'll marry.
Amen.
Amen. The second Adam cannot marry a beast. Amen. He must marry one of his own nature. So we must put on that life and that nature of the man from heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And of course, the carnal man
is
still ruled by his flesh. The Bible says that that beast, that second beast from the earth, is ruled by the first beast from the earth. From the
earth.
So we are in that realm of transition. We have come out from the world. We are trying to break into the heavens, isn't it?
So
those who break in are the firstborn. Do you understand? Those who break through the realm of the flesh into the spirit are the firstborn. Those are the priests of God. Because priesthood is by birth.
It's
either you are born of the flesh or you are born of the spirit. So be a priest. We break through the matrix of our mother to become born on earth, isn't it? We must break through the covering of the flesh and carnality to be born of the spirit.
Amen.
And it's those who are born of the spirit that will enter the kingdom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did I go too far? Amen. Time to stop. Okay. It's a significance of the peace offering. The peace offering is the highest offering. It was an offering where the liver, the inward parts were offered, the liver, the kidneys, the fat. I, you know, the fat speaks of your treasure, your excesses. It also speaks of strength. Even in natural metabolism, any energy you don't need is taken to the fat and stored. So when you bring your fat to God, you are saying, God, I give you all. I surrender my strength. My struggling. When you look at if you look at the golden altar, there are four horns. Those four horns speak of energy and the strength in the soul. The soul has power. I shouldn't be telling you know more than me. There are many societies you find around that are based on soul power. They have out of body experiences and they are basing it on soul power. Now, the power in the soul must be offered to God. The energies must be given. My ability to plan, my ability to do this, all those things must be. And you don't know how difficult it is until God brings you to a point where you have to surrender your mind. He said, not my will, but thine be done. You know, so it's a place of brokenness. That's what the Bible calls brokenness. Where you bring your peace offering. And one important aspect of that is where brethren, particularly those who are in leadership, are not ashamed to talk about their weaknesses. It's a peace offering. Because you see, you're exposing everything. And that's what fellowship should be. When we come, we should be naked with one another. It speaks of brokenness. So he was talking about testimony. The testimony we should be sharing is the testimony how God is dealing with your weaknesses. How God began to deal with you in an area where you are weak, and God has helped you to overcome. Amen. There are many things I used to do before. I had a lot of strength in it. But God has to remove it. Amen. And I'm sure if you look at your own life, you will see where God has also been dealing with you. So that is the peace offering. It's not a sin offering. It's not because you have committed sin. It's an offering you bring in the time of peace. To show God you love Him, you are giving Him this. Isaac was a peace offering. Say your only son. Bring it. And the man offered it. And as he offered it, God said, yeah, you can have it back. Amen. You know, so I don't know if it's clear. So, okay, good. All right. So that's just an example. I didn't really get him saying that. that you have to put it in the bottle. I give you a story. There was a young man in that church while we were in Lagos. The first time I heard that, he put he had that in his in the bottle. And robbers came to his house. He took the bottle and either he drank it or he sprinkled it. And the robbers came and said, well, I will shoot you. They go ahead and shoot me, I will not die. They shot him and he died. You understand? Now, what I'm trying to say is that when a word comes like this, it is always subject to misinterpretation and misunderstanding. But where we have come to, we can always ask questions and get clarification. But the system they operate there, you don't have the privilege to ask questions. So people live with every manner of conception, misconception. The question you are asking is tantamount to asking me if Brother Chijo can bring this water and we place it here and bless it and I go and drink it. Hallelujah. Is that not holy water? Is that what? Is this scriptural? So what I'm trying to say is that people misinterpret or misunderstand, because I don't want to say category, I don't want to say that that was what Oyedepo said. But the way it was ministered and the way it was conveyed could make people begin to do that kind of thing. He wrote a lot of testimonies of people who used that when they were sick, they prepared and broke bread with their family and it worked for them. Okay. So carrying a bottle of Coke and say that is the blood of Jesus, you are totally misapplying that. That goes into what is called transubstantiation, and that is a wrong application. That is what Catholics do. Okay, but here I think that what we try to say in the morning, I think we must have followed it through. That it is a spiritual experience. Amen. Okay, so if we understand it from that context, then we can appropriate it. That does not mean that I cannot prepare it with my family and break it the right way. Amen. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There is something about the natural man.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's something very natural. It's something about the human being. He wants to make an idol. A talisman. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Something you can keep handy. Hallelujah. When you have an emergency, you take the talisman and it works for you. There is a basic principle about the Passover meal. You eat it and you finish it. Do you understand the point? You eat it and you do what? You finish it. You don't keep any left over for emergency. You understand the point? It's a fundamental principle. I think that settles that matter. God bless you.
Give me.